question from our guests in the studio. I mean, this has been, you know, it means now that there's no title sponsor for West Indies cricket. That is a serious thing. And they are already in big, big trouble in terms of lack of sponsorship. I'm sure you're going to want to comment on that. In relation to the test side that has been announced, Jason Holder, Devendra Bishu, Craig Brathwaite, Rustin Chase, Miguel Cummins, Shane Dorrit, Shannon Gabriel, Jamal Hamilton, Shaman Hatmar, Shea Hope, Kieran Pollard, Kemar Roach, and Devon Smith is back. Well, 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 that is the lineup. And only today, we had a situation where very late announcement of the West Indies squad, the President's 11, will be playing against Sri Lanka. That game actually starts tomorrow. And that side will be captained by Kieran Powell, Sunil Ambrose, Jermaine Blackwood, Shamar Brooks, John Campbell, Rakim Cornwall, Miguel Cummins, Jamal Hamilton. Then we come down to Chander Paul Hemraj, Keon Joseph, Raymond Reefer, and Vishal Singh. That is the side that has been selected. Interesting that Hamilton is going to be playing. I suppose they want to see a bit more of him. And Miguel Cummins, who has not played a lot of cricket, he is very much in the squad as well. We hope to talk to the chairman of selectors, Mr. Courtney Brown. He's at the Hyatt Hotel. We're going to try and find him pretty soon. He's consented to speak to us. And as I said, we would want to go around the region as usual and talk to if we can get Tony Gray, the former West Indies fast bowler. Fazer Mohammed has consented to join us as well. And lots happening in cricket in Trinidad and Tobago. We'd have lost their CEO, Suresh Raghunath. He's no longer with the board. He's going to come and talk to us to explain why. And as I said, we certainly want to go around the region. Hayley Matthews, who is the star cricketer, she's from Barbados. She's in Antigua. She says she's only got 5 minutes. She'd be only too happy to join us on Mason Against. A man who's got more than 5 minutes is Dr. Ford. Doctor, nice to see you. Your reaction, first of all, to that news that Digicel is no longer a part of West Indies cricket, disconnected, and we can also look at the side.
Good night, Pearson and Andrew and the listeners.
Good night.
Yeah, so I'm not too worried. The way the press release is written, a part of it says, we are now primed to take on a number of new initiatives as part of our recently announced strategic plan to make cricket the heartbeat of the Caribbean. We hope to make an announcement on our new long-term principal partner soon. So that does give me some hope that there is a plan for a sponsor for West Indies cricket in the wings, and I'm hopeful that that will come to fruition. Over the last 2 weeks, we've been discussing our various test squads, and I think that this squad, which was picked by the West Indies for the first part of the series, is a good team. All the usual suspects. We did ventilate the possibility of Devon Smith coming, and we had the pros and the cons, and those who supported and those who opposed, but he's earned his place. And also Hamilton, that was the surprise to me. I didn't have Hamilton in my possible 16 that would have made it, but the young man has done well for West Indies and does deserve an opportunity. And he's being given another chance to show what he can do along with Powell and Cummins and himself as the, you know, when they play starting tomorrow as the West Indies A. So I think that the homework is being done. And after, based on performances, I think we can have a decision. The fact that Powell is in the West Indies A squad would suggest that he is in second position for the opening spot, and that Devon Smith has overtaken him. But we'll have a chance to look at Hamilton and to assess the fitness of Cummins before the first test. Pearson, how are you seeing
it? Good evening, Andy and Andrew, and listeners. Interesting that Devon Smith has made his way back into the West Indies team. I believe that at 36 years old, if you bring someone of that age into a squad, you're certainly not going to have them being a 12 or a 30s man at the end of the day when you select a 13. So my position is that he will play. I believe that there is a toss-up. It's evident there's a toss-up between Hamilton and Powell. Hamilton was played in the West Indies as a batsman at times, alternating between Dowridge and himself in terms of the keeping duties and batting. Sometimes Dowridge played as the batsman during the A tour. Recently from the England Lions team. And Hamilton also played as a batsman at times, and sometimes they played as wicket keepers either one of them. And that is interesting because if we have to go to people who are relationship batsmen, potentially play a role as a specialist batsman in the test team, it shows where our cricket is at this stage. But be that as it may, it's what it is. And the selectors have spoken, they've selected the team. We have to live by it. We don't know their thinking. Mm-hmm. We want to be too critical of them at this stage. In fact, I would want to give them support because they have been doing a reasonably good job in trying to assess players and their performances. And that is great that we do have selectors who are giving and players who have performed a chance. They're rewarding performance.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we got Courtney Brown, the chairman of selectors, on the line. He's there at the wonderful Hyatt. Good evening to you, Courtney.
Good evening, Andrew. Good evening, listeners.
Right.
Thanks
of course,
for having me.
Right. We want to welcome our listeners, not only here in Barbados, but you've got listeners all around the world. And, of course, we want to say hello to our friends at Wave FM. They take it live, of course, Wave FM in Grenada. ABS Radio there, very much in Antigua, they take us live as well. And, of course, Vibes Radio there in Dominica. In fact, last week, we didn't mention them. They were quite angry about that. And of course, you've got listeners at KLS Radio. We've got listeners down the islands as well. Courtney, you picked your squad. Was it difficult to pick this squad?
No, Andrew. We stuck really with the core group. You know, we've been trying to build out the test squad now for some time. Mm-hmm. And despite the trashing or hiding we got in New Zealand, we still think for such a young squad, the guys have done reasonably well over the last year.
Yeah, indeed. And this squad is just for the first test, I would imagine.
Yes, when we're in the Caribbean, mm-hmm. we like to pick, you know, a squad at a time just in case we need to draw on any player across the region.
Wonderful, and you got some interesting players. What were you thinking in terms of picking Jamar Hamilton?
Well, as you know, Jamar Hamilton was around for some time. He's been doing reasonably well at the regional level and the 18 level for over the last 3 years now. And we felt, although this year he had a very lean PCL, we still felt we should stick with him because in developing players, you know, from time to time, you know, they would have a bad season. And we tend to look at a period around about 3 years and we look at players' performances over that period. And just not a 1 year. I mean, unless there are no other options, really. But we thought that Jamar in the A-team and in the PCL over the last 2 years have done reasonably well. Obviously, in the scheme of things, in terms of the players that we have to choose from in the Caribbean, we have a very small pool, as our listeners would know and yourself would know.
Mm-hmm.
So he played against England A.
Mm-hmm.
And he came in on the back of an injury from Vishal Singh. And he had a very, very good 100 in Jamaica. He went to Antigua again and looked good in that game. And we felt that a player like Blackwood, who was struggling now for some time, and we stuck with, we felt that it was time to give Jamar the opportunity. If I could say a bit more about that. If you look at the middle order players that we have, I mean, you're looking at people like Jamar Hamilton, you're looking at Vijay Singh, you're looking at Shamar Brooks. And if you check these guys' performances over the last 3 years, they're all very similar. So Jamar, you know, he did well against England. We thought he batted very well, and we thought we would give him the opportunity at this time.
Indeed, and the recall of Devon Smith, that has excited, in inverted commas, many people across the region. What were they thinking to bring back Devon Smith?
Well, I think he had an exceptional season. When you look at Devon, normally he will get his 200-300s a year. But, you know, this year he knocked it out of the park. He got 600s. I don't think there was ever a season in. I stand corrected. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you may know a little bit more than me in terms of over the years, but I don't think any player have ever gotten 600s in you know, calendar year in the Caribbean. And we thought, with that in hand, the fact that we've been struggling at the top of our order, 2 and 3 as well, we felt that we're playing our backyard. This is the opportunity here for Devon really to, you know, prove to the Caribbean people, you know, that he can actually make a contribution to West Indies cricket in terms of scoring runs. So he got his opportunity. I think one of the things that we've been basing our selection on over the years is, you know, consistent performance. And these are the things that we expect from players. And he just had a very good year. I don't think anybody could fault him on that.
Hi, good night, Mr. Brown. Looking at the
Andrew Ford.
Looking at the squad, what is your thinking regarding a construct of 6 batsmen, with a keeper, 4 bowlers, and having the occasional off spin versus 5 batsmen and the extra bowler? What do you think this young team is best at format wise?
Well, I mean, if you look at how we were selecting the team over the last year or so, you would know, you know, our thinking. And one of the reasoning behind it, I know we are all very keen to say, you know, bring Jason Kohler a little bit up the order and play an extra bowler, but our batting, you know, really has not been as consistent as we would like. So it will be a very bold move, but could be a case where, you know, it doesn't work. And at this time, we still think that until we see our middle to lower half really, you know, scoring some consistent runs, I think that we at this time, we would still want to play that extra batter. But as I said, you know, in the Caribbean, when we're in our backyard, you never know what can happen over the next, over the series. We have obviously coaches there with our players, and if they can put a good case for playing the extra bowler, it's a possibility that could happen. So I wouldn't sit here and say to you that it wouldn't happen, but we're not getting enough runs from our batters. I think key for us is our keeper and also our captain. I think their contributions must be more consistent. And I think if we can get that nailed down, we can definitely consider having, you know, the extra bowler.
Your thoughts? Okay. Yes, well, I think that's pretty logical. Even though the lower half has been doing pretty well with Jason contributing and also the keeper at intervals, and you know sometimes the lower half can do a bit better than the bottom half. But how do you deal with the players who are on the fringes and just missed out on the 13? But if we were on tour, would have made a 16. How does the selection panel communicate with those players and keep them motivated?
Well, I mean, the good thing for us really is that we have a good 18 program, and we have 18 cricket coming right up on the heels of the test series. We actually have the guys going off to the UK to play some one days against England, Lions and India A, and then they're going to play some 4-day matches against India A. And then one of the county teams as well. So we have some cricket that a lot of the fringe players still have the opportunity to showcase their talent. And they're not far away. If we need to draw on one or two of them, you know, over the next 2 series, then we would. But I try to always keep a very open, you know, relationship with the players. they all have my number. We all on you know, on WhatsApps and whatnot. So if there's any bad feelings, you know, they would always message and say, or they would call and say we will have a chat. It's not easy. I mean, when you look at what some of them have done recently, I mean, you look at Warwick, and I mean, mm-hmm. you know, he had a massive 18 series. Mm-hmm. But when you look at what the incumbent did in Zimbabwe, you know, as selectors, you have to sit back, you have to recognize that as well. So
you're saying that Warwick was pretty close to selection then?
I'm saying. Well, I mean, if you're gonna perform in that manner, he would have been.
Yes.
But unfortunately, at this time, we're only using one spinner,
mm-hmm.
and then there's still the option, really, that we would want. There's a possibility we may want to play two spinners. We may want to play four fast bowlers, depending on what we see.
Mm-hmm. And the first test is in Trinidad. Of course, you've got Ruston Chase, who's a pretty decent off spinner.
Well, yeah, it's one of the things that, you know, that we would have recommended to the Cricket West Indies is to get in a specialist spinner,
mm-hmm.
To really help our spinners. So right now, Mustafa Ahmed is here helping our spinners, which, you know, we welcome. Because people tend to forget all about spinners, really, because we focus a lot on fast bowling.
Mm-hmm.
And normally we would hire a fast bowling specialist as our bowling coach. But I think from observation, we've really neglected our spinners over the years. So, you know, kudos must go to, you know, Cricket West Indies, really, for actually bringing a specialist spinner in. So he'd been working with all the spinners, both the test spinners and the short format spinners as well. And so people like Chase, all these guys would have had the opportunity to go to the coaching camp with him as well. So we're hoping that, you know, they would have picked up a few tricks and learned from him. He's a very knowledgeable cricketer from all reports. And not only he not only spoke about actually bowling, but he also spoke to the batters as well about batting spin. So we're hoping that we can have him down periodically, and to really help our spin bowlers. Because what we've seen is that I don't want to say neglect, so to speak. But we never really focus on our spinners, and that's one of the things we have to do. As you know, you would know that in the Caribbean, the players that get the most wickets for us are spinners every year. So we really have to focus and look to, you know, build out on that and see if we can get pick up one or two spinners that can actually go to the international level and perform consistently. And one of the things we obviously are looking at is off short format cricket as well. So there's a number of initiatives we are looking to bring on board and to improve, you know, our competitiveness at the international level. You would know we had a camp in Barbados. We also had our camps in Antigua, where we would have had our young fast bowlers, and then we had our 18 players as well. So it was it's actually a very busy time for West Indies cricket right now.
Hi, Mr. Brown, Pierce, some of
Mr. Patel.
Yeah, just in terms of any injuries or unavailability, could you explain if any of those issues would have had an impact on your in terms of the final selection?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, as you would know, Zara Joseph is just coming back from injury, and also Sunil Amris. And although both of them were in the camp in Barbados, in the 17-man squad, could we actually pick the 17-man squad for that camp? And I must say too that we also had all contracted players involved in testing and fitness testing, which we do every year. So they were all in a camp, and we had a camp where we had the test match guys.
So also
the short format guys. So we had a very big camp, and from all reports, I also went a few times, and it went pretty well.
Okay.
But to answer your question, I think Azari, you know, it was felt by the high performance team and the medical people that, you know, he still needs some more time. Mm-hmm. He will not be touring England with our A team squad either, because they felt that with his action, that needed to be repeated. Mm-hmm. And get into his muscle memory, they felt that he should stay at home and continue to work with the coaches at home before he then introduced back into cricket.
So what about Kimo Paul?
Kimo Paul will actually be with our 18. You know, Kimo Paul is a very young guy. We just want to take our time with him. We don't want to rush him into too many formats at this time. But he's definitely somebody that we're very excited about. Has a very good attitude, and you know, we wish him all the best, you know, in his cricket career.
Yeah, you see, what I'm asking about that is because of the rare reviews that he has had since he's committed to West Indies in the senior team, albeit in the short form. But I just wondered if something was amiss with him, because I didn't notice that he was part of the any of the two squads that are to participate in the upcoming games. So you've explained that the thinking is that you don't want to rush him too quickly into the international format in a full-fledged way, but you want to bring him through the 18 setup and get him some more experience. That's what the thinking is.
Yeah, and you got to remember too that we also have a test match squad with some players that were around for a little while.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I understand, yeah. But I was looking at the other game where the President's 11. So I thought it was Angel. Then it's his name,
right?
He is in the fast bowling camp, and then he's heading out to the UK.
Okay.
He's heading out to the UK for the
Courtney, when do we expect that 18 to go to England? The name of it.
Well, what I can say, Andrew, is that both teams have been selected.
Okay.
There's a one-day format and there's a four-day format, and the office will decide when they would. And go to the public.
Now, make it available.
I know sometimes there's a delay and there's a lot of there's a lot of talk about the delay of the teams, but you got to remember that the protocol dictates that when we select a team, we send it into the office, but then there's a process where you have to inform the players before it goes then to the West Indies board. So in informing players, sometimes it takes a few days, sometimes longer for whatever reason. So sometimes there's those little delays that cause a team not to hit the media as you know, you guys would like.
Yeah. So we kind of expect it pretty soon then, is that what you're saying? Should get it pretty soon.
Yes, it should be out very soon.
Oh, I hope so.
If you think it's taking a little too long, you can talk to your good friend. You can talk to your good friend, Carol Metford.
Yes.
You know,
her name is Carol, though. She likes to be called Carol.
Yeah.
All right, before you go, no problem. I know you got to go pretty soon. Who's the vice captain? I know you have just of the test squad.
Well, we haven't changed our vice captain.
Okay.
You're suggesting
No, not really, because I see the squad has been named. You got Jason Wood, captain, but I didn't see, you know, vice captain. When you look at the schedule that came up, but the vice captain, I would imagine, is Craig Baffert then.
Well, yes, I can say that. I think you know, he has been the vice captain, and you've got to understand the process of Silat. Selecting recommending a captain to and a vice captain to the Cricket West Indies. We only recommend, and you know, until we go back to the Cricket West Indies and say to them, look, we would like to recommend a change and give them a rationale. Right. You know, that's how that it will stay that way. So, what I'm saying is that if you just saw a team and you didn't see Jason Hall the captain, unless we actually have recommended the board, he will still be captain.
Fair enough. Courtney, just before you go, you're happy with the preparation? You think you'll beat Sri Lanka?
Well, I am optimistic about it. I think at the end of the day, it's how we play on the day. Sri Lanka is still a decent team. They do have a few solid cricketers, and we have to go there. We have to show West Indians that you know that we're forging ahead. This is a great opportunity for Jason and his team, and I've said that to him as well. And to show West Indians that we're moving forward, we have to play some really good cricket against Sri Lanka. If you look at how we've been playing in the Caribbean over the last few years, you know, we had some very good performances against some of the better teams in the world. So these boys now have been playing together for a little while. So they now have to come and prove to us that, look, you know, we're kicking forward. I think one of the things that we always got complaints on from players is that, look, you know, y'all chop and change too fast, y'all don't keep the team together. And I think anyone now could say that, you know, we've been very, I don't want, for lack of a better word, generous in terms of trying to keep, you know, this crop together. But as I said to some of the players, you know, look, you know, if you guys want us to maintain this, you know, we have to start seeing some results.
Indeed. And just before you go, I have a nation here, Courtney. He said, bet you didn't know. They say you're a big fan of Manchester United and you eat grapes every day.
I said almost.
Hayden Gill is reporting, and four, I would eat grapes every day. Is that true? Akil, you saying that?
Yes, I've seen that.
And you're a big fan of Manchester United?
Yeah, well, obviously, my friend, like the art, used to play there.
Yes,
so,
indeed.
Yeah. Wonderful. I became a fan from
that. All right, Courtney, we won't keep you too much longer. Enjoy the Hyatt. I know it's a wonderful hotel, one of the best hotels that you've been to. And I'm sure you're enjoying that wonderful breakfast there. And we hope the best team will do well.
Thank you. And I'd like to say thank you very much, Andrew.
Right.
And also to all the listeners in the Caribbean and across the world, thanks very much for having me. And thanks to your team there in the studio.
Yeah, Dr. Ford, your good friend, Pearson Bovell. All right, so Courtney Brown, the chairman of selectors, he's very much there in Trinidad. We're going to take a break. I'm going to be making my way down to Trinidad as well for the first test. I've been invited to do some commentaries there. So I actually got a pick there. So I'll be going
big ones,
in fact, I'm going to be doing the entire series.
Oh.
I'm going across to St. Lucia and the rest. But we got to pause for business because we've got to make some money, you know. We don't want to guess. I'm Andrew Mason. We've got young Keel has just joined us. And of course, we've got Dr. Andrew Ford as well. And Pearson Bovell. We're going to make our stops around the Caribbean. You can call us at 434-1798. Of course, you've called overseas, it's 1246. And of course, if you want to send us a WhatsApp, it's 253-4679. We're trying to get the CEO of Cricket West Indies on the line because this is a big story here in that we've got a situation where the whole question of sponsorship is no longer. In fact, Dominic Warren, Director of Commercial Marketing and Communication Cricket West Indies, he was speaking on behalf of the West Indies, and well, they've reached an agreement. Do we have, yes, we do have Johnny on the line, Johnny Grave. First of all, it's good night to you, Johnny, because I think you're in the mother country.
Yeah, good evening. I'm here in London.
Of course, in London. All right, story broke this afternoon, in fact, there's a press release saying that Digicel, you reached an agreement to end sponsorship relationship with Cricket West Indies, and it's a situation where they've been with you for 13 years. That must be a bit of a shock to you.
It's not really a shock. We're publicly announcing what we've been discussing for many months with Digicel, and you know, the first thing I'd like to do is recognise the fact that, as you say, for 13 years they've been a fantastic supporter of cricket at all levels within the Caribbean, and whilst we are amicably agreeing to end our relationship between Cricket West Indies and Digicel as of today, they still continue to be, not just through the Caribbean Premier League and therefore pan-Caribbean, but also through relationships in each territory, a huge supporter of cricket. So whilst it's only right that we should recognise the huge impact they've made over 13 years, we should continue to thank them for their continued support of cricket, albeit not through a direct relationship with us.
Indeed. But you've got bigger fish to fry then? I mean, others may come on board, possibly?
Yeah, well, look, with all these announcements, there's a timing issue. I'm not sure what other people have said before I've joined you. And so, but yes, we're very confident that within a very short period of time, and as players take the field at the home of cricket, Lords, tomorrow, they'll be wearing shirts with a new supporter of West Indies cricket for the Hurricane Relief game. And we're very hopeful that by Wednesday for the first test match against Sri Lanka, that we'll have a long-term partner in place to replace Digicel.
Oh, good. So we should see that then. Come in. So you do have a new sponsor then.
I'm not in a position to make that announcement here.
Okay. I can hear the smile in your voice if one could describe it. I think that's a big one. That's millions there, Johnny.
But it's a fantastic partnership that we will be announcing. We, as you've known through weeks of our discussions, we've got really exciting strategic plan to get West Indies back to winning ways. You know, it's never going to be an easy task competing with, you know, the bigger economies of England, Australia, India. And whilst we don't want to continue to moan about the economics of cricket and the so-called level playing field that we play against, we are determined to compete however the cards are stacked against us, and ensure that we return West Indies teams, men and women, and A team and under 19s back to the top of the world. And we're delighted that not just the announcement that we hope to make in the next 24 to 48 hours, we hope to announce more partners coming forward that are really behind us in our plans, really want to support us both financially but also in other ways to get to where we want to get to, which is filling stadiums full of spectators who are really behind the team when the times are good, and also, more importantly, probably when the times are more difficult. And we hope to be announcing, not just tomorrow, but regularly over the next 6 to 12 months, more and more partners that are coming on board to help us in those aims.
With a new sponsor on the horizon for the Cricket West Indies, How do you explain a conflicting story that we had discussed last week with the shift in the one of the test matches with against Sri Lanka to two one days? How does that sort of information permeate to the to the press and to the cricket info? Are they cross-lined somewhere?
As much as I'd love to be announcing a partnership, if not tomorrow, next week, that is going to solve the financial challenges we have this year. Unfortunately, it's a good deal for everyone, but it's not that good in terms of this year. You know, we've got a massive challenge this year on the finances with Sri Lanka and Bangladesh. You know, halving the TV revenue, as I explained a couple of weeks ago, the TV revenue this year is less than half of what we received last year, and our revenues will more than triple next year with England and an India touring in 2019. So the difference between the peaks and the troughs in our broadcast revenue is now massive. And it's something that we need to adapt to as a business, and we are adapting to. But it's not something that your one or two commercial deals, be it sponsorship or broadcasting, away from solving. So we still have those challenges in managing the peaks and the troughs. You know, we are enormously grateful for Digicel for the support they've given us over many, many years at all levels of cricket. And we will be announcing, and we're very confident we're announcing fantastic brands, not just tomorrow and next week, but also moving forward to support us. But the financial challenges of managing these sort of the different values in tours that, that come to the Caribbean, and the costs involved of hosting them, you know, will continue to be an enormous challenge. And you know, we are in talks with ICC. We are in talks regularly with international boards, and we've made our position very clear that we feel that the economic model of cricket, both of bilateral cricket, ICC World Events, the IPL, you know, it is not the correct model. It doesn't allow for all the members to thrive. It doesn't allow for competitive balance. And whilst we don't want to be seen as moaning about of world cricket and how it's unfair, you know, we are determined, as you know, we're taking games to the US this year. We are announcing new partnerships over the next few weeks. We're doing everything we can to compete, but you know, the cards are very much stacked against us and other nations, especially the associates that we played against in the World Cup qualifiers. And we believe that cricket has the potential to thrive in all markets, to grow in all markets, to become, you know, the number one sport in the world. We've got, especially in the 2020 format, there's no reason why it can't become one of the most popular sports in the world. But, you know, the game of cricket and us as full members, we need to come together and ensure that that happens.
Yeah, Mr. Grace Pierce, some of that here. I know you're not at liberty to disclose who your new partners would be, but could you say if it's a long-term sponsorship deal? And also, would it be involving the age groupings? I know that we tend to focus more on the international teams.
Mm-hmm.
So and to rebuild wrestling cricket, naturally we have to start down at those age group levels.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to ask if it's going to be a sponsorship deal that will take those things into consideration and filter into those. And also, I assume it's going to be gender neutral.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, from a strategic point of view, we want what we describe a principal partner. We want a number one sponsor for West Indies cricket, and in our mind, that is around sponsoring the and appearing on the shirts and the iconic maroon strip of the West Indies. We want them to be part of both our men's senior team, our A team, our under-19s, and our women's cricket at the top level. Now we're soon to embark on an under 15 tour to the UK, which is a big part of the incentive to young cricketers around the region to perform well in the under 15 regional tournament and then go forward on a trip of a lifetime to tour the UK and test yourself in English conditions against the best under 15 sides in the UK. And we want that to be part of what it means to represent the West Indies. And so having one partner that's consistent across all those teams is very, very important for us strategically. And as I said, you know, I'd love to be in a position to announce that immediately.
Mm-hmm.
We are very confident we're moving to that position. And as soon as you know, the ink is dry on contracts, we'll be
beautiful
in that position to announce it. But it's one that...
Is it long-term?
Genuinely,
Johnny?
Initially, it's a very short-term deal, but that's because... you know, we've got a game in London on Thursday evening, and but as I say, by what we hope by Wednesday, when the first Test match starts against Sri Lanka, we'll be in a position to communicate and announce that it's a long term deal. And as I say, we're very confident that everything's moving in the right direction, and this is a partner that we've been talking to, not really about necessarily, you know, West Indies cricket. Looking back, we're talking about what we want to achieve as an organisation moving forward, and they're very aligned with our position and our objectives, not just with those senior teams that their brand and logo will be on the shirts for and training kit for, but also the wider objectives around how we have to bring the region together. We have to unite the Caribbean in cricket, and we need to get cricket as the number one sport in every single school, primary and secondary within the Caribbean. And we need to get fans back into the stadium. You know, cricket is the number one sport, but we need to work very, very hard to ensure that it's the number one sport for not just 5 years' time, 10 years' time, but for many generations' time. And that's our focus. And we really feel we found a partner that shares that with us, which is, you know, as I say, really exciting from our point of view.
Final question. I know you've got to go and get some sleep. You're in England. Getting ready for that Hurricanes game. How are preparations going?
Well, it's fair to say that the weather here in London isn't quite as good as it was in Antigua when I left. I left Lord's Cricket Ground approximately 6 hours ago to the covers on a torrential rain. That said, Andrew, a very positive person. So I would say to you, the weather forecast I was given by the Lord's groundsman were there's a 50% chance of sunshine on Thursday evening. So we look forward to the 50% chance of sunshine taking place. It's a fantastic occasion to play. For any cricketer to play at the home of cricket, Lord's is special. For West Indies teams, looking back to 75 and 79 World Cups is even more special. And it's brilliant that the world of cricket, and we're very, very grateful to the ECB, the ICC, the MCC, and all the full member boards that have helped us secure players for what was a genuine World 11 side playing against. Let's not lose sight of the fact that we're the world champions. So this is the world champions West Indies playing at the home of cricket against the proper World 11 side, and it's all in aid. Every single pound that is spent in Lords is going towards the hurricane relief, and we hope that's to support the grounds that were damaged last year. We're sure everyone in the region doesn't want a repeat of the double Cat 5 hurricanes that we experienced in 2017. But no, I think it's fantastic that everyone's come behind us, you know, broadcasters, sponsors, the international boards, MCC, ECB and ICC, to celebrate cricket and raise money for what is, in our minds, a very, very worthy cause. And I think by playing it here in London, we will definitely raise more than we would have raised if we'd done another event, either in the Caribbean or anywhere else in the world.
All right, Johnny, thanks very much for coming through and talking to us. And no doubt we'll see you in Trinidad and Tobago, hopefully, sometime soon. Let's hope you have a good game. Thanks for coming through and talking to us from London.
Thank you, Andrew.
All right, good. So there you have it. The CEO of Cricket West Indies, Johnny Graves, speaking to us from London. We hope a little bit later on to hear from Carlos Brathwaite, who is in London. And we're also going to have a little piece. In fact, I was listening to a radio station in Trinidad and Tobago, and the Prime Minister, Dr. Keith's role, he was explaining why he spoke to Cricket Australia. It's just about 2.5 minutes. We'll certainly get to that a little bit later on. We got a youngster who's coming to. He came late today. I don't know why. Why were you late? Were you celebrating something?
No, on the highways and byways, the police were blocking off the road, so I had to use other routes to get here, so it was a bit late.
Did you have that same problem, Dr. Ford?
Yeah, there was some sort of obstruction along Column Rock, close to the People's Cathedral.
Mr. Mason, just
diversion.
Sorry, Dr. Ford. Mr. Mason, just before we continue, it came in when Mr. Courtney Brown was on the line. I just want to congratulate him and his selectors. For anyone who listened to me would have known that I'm a Devin Smith fan after watching him this year. And I just have to commend the selectors for going the Devin Smith route. And as I told Dr. Ford last Tuesday or so, actually it was the day of the election when I heard about it on CBC Sports. I told Dr. Ford that he will repay the selectors. So
I really do hope so. We do wish Devin the best, of course. Perseverance is something that we really respect.
Well, at least Swan is not playing.
But my big concern is you know, it's Sri Lanka. They're off-rate bowlers. I still have those memories etched. And I hope that some repair has been done.
Let's give him a new start, not the first.
Well, the question is, will he bat at number 3 or will he open?
Should 4341790. You can give us a call. Of course, you're calling overseas. It's 1246 in front. We're going to try to touch base. Well, I did in fact speak to Devon Smith, and I'm hoping that we can actually talk to him a little bit later on. Very quiet, doesn't say a lot. He uses the better grade. But when you look at the side, if we hear from you, are you happy with the overall team?
Yeah, so I'm very happy. I think Jamar Hamilton is definitely deserved the chance, and also he can keep as well. And we know that we've been short on that front. I'm extremely happy with that team. I think that Devin Smith can make the team and open the batting and maybe let someone like Kieran Powell have a seat, because they think that Kieran Powell hasn't shown that he has the potential to kick on. And Devin Smith in that four-day competition, he really did show that he's the man. So him and Craig up front.
Mm. You're happy with that?
Yeah, I'm happy with that.
All right, let's go to Antigua and talk to Hayley Matthews, who, of course, is our star. And she has done very, very well for the West Indies in recent times. But she's at a camp, and she's got only 5 minutes or so. I know she's going to be very, very busy going out this season. But we want to say good evening to Hayley. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you, Andrew?
I'm good. How's the camp going?
I'm pretty good so far. We were down here for about a month now. We're working pretty hard. As you know, we have the World Cup coming up at the end of the year, so I think it's a pretty good initiative that we're getting to spend a bit more time together as a team and being able to train together in one area.
Mm. So when does the camp end? You've been there for a month. I'm sure you miss your Bajan food.
Yeah, for sure. We're actually back home tomorrow. So
oh, you're coming back tomorrow?
Yeah.
Mm. How was Antigua?
Pardon?
How is Antigua? Is it okay?
Oh, yeah, it's good. You know, we've been training at Coolidge Cricket Ground, which we've seen a lot of progress in the last couple of months. So the facilities are getting better and better every time we've come down here. So that's really good to see.
Tell us exactly what you've been doing in terms of your training.
Well, I think this camp was based a lot on our fitness. So we've been working really hard on that. We actually came down here, like I said, for about 4 weeks and trained 6 days a week, every week. So it's been a pretty hectic schedule. The first couple of weeks, we were working a lot more on our basics, doing a lot of drill work, and the bowlers doing a lot of spot work. And then later on down in the camp, going more for the net stuff. And, you know, in between there all the time, making sure our fitness and our gym work is being put in.
Indeed. And who are some of the people working with you? Coaches?
Yeah, so the head coach down here was Henderson Springer,
right.
As well as Stuart Williams being the assistant coach. And then we had Roddy Essex help us out, as well as Floyd Reefer when he was down here with the A team.
Right.
So we've had a lot of assistance from a lot of experienced coaches since we've been here.
Wonderful, wonderful indeed. And all the girls are fit and ready to make us proud.
I mean, things are looking really good, you know. Like I said before, I think an initiative like this taken by West Indies, by Cricket West Indies, is really good for us. And hopefully we can keep moving forward. We've got 2 series coming up just before the World Cup as well, which I think is really good for us. So, yeah, we're actually heading back home now, and then in about a week or so, straight into the regional tournament, the Women's 50 over at T20. So, you know, I think it's really good that the girls are getting a lot of training in and then being able to get match practice right after as well.
All right.
Hi, Hayley.
So many people want to talk to Dr. Ford. Everybody wants to talk to you.
It must be your voice.
Okay, let's have some order. Dr. Ford, you first. Pearson, second.
Yes, Hayley. Being a professional female cricketer in the West Indies, has it lived up to your expectations?
Sorry, the phone broke up for a bit. Could you repeat that?
And being a professional cricketer, a female cricketer in the West Indies, has it lived up to your expectations?
Yeah, I mean, being a cricketer is something that I've wanted to do for a very, very long time. I remember growing up, being just about 10 or 11 years old, and I knew from that time I wanted to play cricket for the West Indies. And I think so far it's been a really good experience for me, you know, just being able to travel the world freely and getting to see all the different places and experience all the different cultures, as well as meeting so many new people while doing the thing you love best, is probably a dream come true for me, actually.
Yeah, hi, Hayley. How are you doing?
Hey, yeah, I'm good, thanks.
Yeah,
how was the experience and exposure in places like Australia and you and your exposure to their professionalism? How has that helped develop your cricket?
I think a lot. I mean, when you go to play the leagues in Australia, like the Big Bash, and then the Super League in England, mm-hmm. you just see the standard of cricket is so, so high. And I mean, it's really showing mm-hmm. how much women's cricket is growing at their domestic level. They basically have central contracts in every state. And then, you know, just playing on there with the standard of the cricket being a lot higher is so much practice for you, just playing on the different pitches as well. I mean, an English pitch to me is so different to an Australian pitch to them, so different to a West Indian pitch. So getting that constant practice all over the world kind of gets you accustomed to being able to change your game quickly and adapt to the conditions as quickly as possible as well.
Good evening, Hayley. Hope you're doing well. Just a quick question. What do you think is key for this unit? I've watched over the past series, and so what do you think is key in order to win this World Cup?
I think for us, it's really about consistency. We have so many good players, especially with our T20 World Cup coming up and T20 cricket being our very strong suit. Everybody I know looks at our team and says we do have a very strong batting lineup, but mm-hmm. I think the only times we really go wrong is when we lose our consistency a bit. Mm-hmm. And I think for us, it's just a matter of having everybody contribute their little bits evenly. And I think once we can consistently do that, we should do pretty well. When you saw us in the mm-hmm. T20 World Cup in 2016, mm-hmm. we saw all types of different people chipping in every game. And well, it worked out to be successful for us, so hopefully we can get that going into this tournament as well.
Just before you go, Hayley, I know you've got an appointment. The full squad, the entire squad is there in Antigua?
We have about 14 people here, I think.
14?
About 14 people here. So
and the captain is there?
Yes, Stefani Taylor, she's here.
Okay.
There's no finalized squad or anything. There's 14 players
that
the Westernese have picked. Yeah.
Wonderful, wonderful. And tell us quickly the final question. What is the experience like to play in the Big Bash?
I think it's probably my favorite tournament to play in. Like I was saying before, mm-hmm. just the standard of the cricket is so, so, so mm-hmm. high, even at that domestic level. And you get to play against so many world-class players. Australia, with them being probably the most professional set up in women's cricket now in the world. I mean, they have such a wide variety of talented players that no matter which team you play, you always have to compete very hard because there's so many talented players on each team. Then as well as the internationals coming out from the other parts of the world are always of the highest standard. So I think it's definitely helped my cricket a lot. So yeah, hopefully I can keep playing it for a good set of years to come.
All right, Hayley, we won't keep you too much longer. Enjoy the last night in Antigua. Of course, Michael Matthews, your father, your mother, everyone will be at the airport very, very early. Don't know what time you're coming in, but they're going to be there very early to see you home. We want to thank you for coming through and talking to us amazing guests.
Oh, good. Thanks for having me.
All right. There you have it. Hayley Matthews, always willing to talk to the media. Wonderful young lady.
Yes. And Mr. Mason, I just want to let you know.
Andrew, please.
No, Mr. Mason. Before we go on any further, it's actually interesting. The IPL they play two exhibition matches, starting for women's cricket. Mm-hmm. I think they call it the Super League. I'm not very sure, but they're mm-hmm. saying that we can expect a lot more. So it's good times for women's cricket.
All right. We're gonna certainly have an interesting time with you. First of all, you're not with the Trinidad and Tobago Cricket Board anymore. What went wrong with this, Suresh?
Well, it's nothing that went wrong. In life, you do two things, Andrew. And good evening to all. You enter and you leave. And the time has come for me to move on and do what I wanted to do a while now. So that time is right. The TPCB is in transition. And, you know, it's a good time for me to move on and explore new avenues as I progress in my life.
What would have influenced you to have made such an important decision?
Well, 2 years ago, I had resigned and the board asked me to stay on. And even then, and it's been even before that, I've been contemplating getting into my own sport marketing and consultancy business. I think the time is right for me to do that. Mm-hmm. You know, really, 2 years on from where I was 2 years ago, I'm still in that same place, really. So. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, I needed to make this move. It's a personal move. It's something that I've wanted to do for a while. So now is the time.
But they're saying that you weren't getting along well with the president, Mr. Azim Basrat. Is that true?
Well, what I don't know what would have prompted you to make such an observation. You want to enlighten me?
Well, no, I mean, I've been doing my own investigations. I mean, I've been speaking to some of the top journalists down there, and they're saying that, you know, the relationship had never been good. Is that true?
Well, I guess in any organization, you're going to have differences of opinion at different points in time. I would not go so far to say that, you know, we never got along. Mm-hmm. We've had cordial relations and continue to do well.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, Azim and I have a pretty good relationship, to be honest. I've gotten close to his family, and that doesn't happen just like that. Mm-hmm. But the issues are far-ranging as far as, you know, moving on from Trinidad and Tobago cricket at this point in time. But having said that, I'm still involved with the CCCB in that I have volunteered to assist the CCCB in its transition and to continue to be of assistance should they need my assistance in any way. To lend my experience of cricket in Trinidad and Tobago.
How long were you CEO?
Just over 6 years.
6 years, that's a pretty long time. Dr. Ford, you got a question for Sir
Hi, Sir. What aspects of the structure and functioning of the TCB would you, do you think can be strengthened going forward?
Well, I think everything rises and falls on leadership. So, you know, I think that's where it all matters most, the leadership of the organization and you know, how the organization is governed. And I think that is a critical issue. And out of that would flow all the other, you know, aspects of management and the operations of the board.
And you said you're part of the transition. I mean, but you've left the job now. You're not there anymore? Totally left the job now?
No, I'm totally away from the TCCB. Yeah, now that's the job.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And remind me again what you're going to be doing.
So what I'm doing right now in terms of the TCCB is still assisting them. You know, mm-hmm. we have the Regional Under 17 tournament mm-hmm. that I would have been responsible for over the last 5, 6 years, 7 years. You know, mm-hmm. so that's just one area where, you know, I would continue to assist to help with funding and sourcing funds wherever that is possible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and normal day-to-day stuff that they, you know, things arise that they need any assistance that I will be more than willing to provide my assistance. I've already given them that commitment. So mm-hmm. in terms of what I'm going to do, I'm big into sport marketing. Mm-hmm. So that is an area that I'm going to be getting mm-hmm. into leadership training and development, some consultancy, things along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
But very much, you know, sport. And it's going to deal with things like promotion and for promotion and marketing, really. Main thing.
So, are you leaving the job with a heavy heart?
Yes, definitely, because cricket has been my passion. And but for the greater God and cricket, I would not be who I am today. Mm-hmm. So, to move away from the TCCB, it was something that, you know, I had to think long and hard about, because cricket means a lot to me. And to have been given the opportunity to play cricket for Trinidad and Tobago has fulfilled my ambition of playing for the West Indies. And then after I graduated from university to be given the opportunity to practice what I had learned, you know, at that level was also significant. So I'll be always indebted to the TCCB. And that, you know, things like that makes it a little bit harder to walk away. And especially now at a time where cricket is in crisis. You know, so, but as I said before at the start of this interview,
mm-hmm.
you do two things in life, you enter and leave, and, you know, the time has come for me to move.
Well, Serge, we want to thank you very much indeed for coming through and talking to us. Of course, we'll continue to hear from you, and we wish you well.
Well, thank you very much, Andrew. It has always been a pleasure, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, if ever you need me, I will be available.
Of course, we may need you to do some commentaries in Trinidad.
That I will do gladly.
All right. Okay. Thanks very much for coming through and talking to us.
Yes, buddy.
Right. And the news is not very good there from Sears. I know he's had some challenges with the board. In fact, we're going to try and talk to the president. No, not only about that, but of course, preparations for the first step. He's consented to come to the show. But he's a good man.
Yes, he's been a useful contributor to the show. Lots of information and a passion for cricket. We need lots of people like that to help our players.
Maybe, Mr. Mason, job on missing a guest.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm sure we can. I mean, of course we can.
Their job's here. But then that might mean my replacement, so.
Not at all. We're going to find some work for him. We're trying to reach the president as ambassador. He is not with us, and maybe we could try and reach Fazir as well, because we really want to talk a little bit more with this. But in terms of the line 4417, if you call us from overseas, you can call 1246. I got a WhatsApp message coming through from someone just now. In fact, they're saying to me that, I just read it. Oh, that they're very surprised that Chemo Paul is not a part of it.
Yeah, well, I raised that because when Dr. Ford was speaking to Courtney Brown, one of the things that he mentioned was the showing up at the door order button, right? And asking him in terms of the composition of the team, if that plays a role in determining the construct, because naturally Jason Hall will be batting at seven, which gives the lower order a little bit more beef. But you have a young guy like Chemo Paul, who's young and enthusiastic, and he came back. And therein lies the reason for my question, because he's come into West Indies cricket, he's hit the ground running, he looks very much as though he belongs, and he has a passion for the game. And you want to see youngsters with that passion and that drive. And he's a brilliant player, and one would hope that he plays a role. I know the chairman said that they want to bring him through the 18 setup.
I think he's going to London.
I understand that. But I'm just saying that the chairman said that they want to bring him through the 18 setup. And I'm saying that I have no problem at all with Chemo Paul playing a role in this test series.
He was in all the squads that were discussed over the past 2 weeks. So, I mean, he must be very, very close to selection. I guess it may have been a toss-up between Cummins and his fitness.
I was just going to ask Mr. Vell who he thinks Chemo Paul should play in front of. Make the 13 in front of. Who would you leave home?
Well, at this stage, I believe that someone like Miguel Cummins, who we heard 2 weeks ago, was still struggling to regain total fitness. Mm-hmm. I think when we had the analysis from those involved in the camps, I think it was Graham West who said, that he was coming back from some fitness issues. And they were trying to get him to a level where he could be playing in a 5-day game. The problem was not that he may not be able to play on the park, but playing 5 days of cricket, I think they were looking at, you know, if he can be nurtured into a situation like that and sustain his full capacity at a certain level. So my thing is, much the same with Larry Joseph, who is also coming back from injury and remodeling of his action. I would have no problem with someone like Chemo Paul, who's shown that he's an incisive bowler. You see, there's a difference between what you get from Paul and Cummins. Cummins is going to be a steady bowler. He's not going to be that sharp, incisive, shock bowler who will probably come and take two wickets in 5 overs very quickly, and then you pull him out of the attack. He will probably do the donkey work.
Repetition, yeah.
And then you have a semi attack with Roach, who's lost that zip. And you have Holder, who is going to be born at that medium pace, and then Cummins, who's going to... Cummins can hit the deck hard at times, but basically he's the same type of bowler that you would get from Holder.
And the only time I've seen that where it's going to Mr. Vell is when Cummins would have got Kohli out in that test series, where he gave a short ball, which no one really expected, to Kohli, and he just top-edged it to the keeper, gloved it to the keeper. But I think Chemo Paul is very innovative, and he can produce a wicket, and he's shown that in the 4-day format that he can bowl for long periods of time. And I think for the development of him being around those players and just gaining that experience, it would have been good for him. But that's Miguel Cummins' job to do now, to show that the selectors made the right decision.
Well, the reality is only 13. I'm sure if there were 16 players, that he would have been.
And Ray Murray, of course.
I'm not sure that Raymond would have made it, but Raymond is in this. It was in my 16 anyway.
He's
in the West.
He's saying he only had one opportunity to do that, and he did a good job.
Others will come. But, you know, the fact that he's playing with the team against Sri Lanka, the A team, tells me that it's unlikely that he will start. It tells me that the spinner will probably be in. And it also says that our wicketkeeper and Powell may be fighting for the for the last batting space that will be there. So it's a matter of if, let's say, Powell makes 100, we could have easily Devon Smith slotting at number 3 or vice versa.
Well, I hope Powell can make 100, right?
But they may go for experience in the long run, even though, So, I mean, it'll be interesting to see, but either way, the 11 that will be out there is, I think, representative of one of the stronger teams that we can put on the park. So I think we'll be satisfied.
And it will be a team that most people in the Caribbean would come up with approximately 90% of the construct of the team anyway. So
I'm happy to see Jermaine Blackwood. He's come down to the A team, so I'm happy about that.
I wouldn't say happy because I still think that Jermaine Blackwood is a young man, and though his
he'd be playing this match too.
His batting needs to, you know, take a different direction from the crash bang wallop. Although in his last couple of test innings, he wasn't dismissed in that manner. But I think he still has something to offer West Indies cricket, provided he can improve on his technical ability at the crease. And I wouldn't throw him out totally yet.
In different formats, I think he has a chance in the ODI format. But I don't think he's ready yet for the test.
You don't? All right. We're still trying to make those connections across the region. We're trying to touch base with Phil Wallace, who's got a comment to the side, and we're hoping to also go to Guyana as well. But we're going to spend some time in Jamaica. But, of course, at this time, we're not making the connections that we would want. But, of course, we've still got some time on the show. You can call us at 44 17. Actually, spoke to Cricket Australia. And he was interviewed recently in Trinidad and Tobago, and we're going to hear what Dr. Rowley had to say.
That was a very important meeting because I wanted to meet with Cricket Australia for the simple reason that I wanted to get a first-hand feel from them as to how they went about fixing their problem. And we did meet at Cricket Australia. We met two of the senior executives, and they did give us good insights. And I could tell you, across Australia, there's a sadness about the demise of West Indies cricket. Every single person I spoke to, and there were many, man, woman, and child, speak about the great tragedy that is the loss of West Indies cricket. And they all spoke very fondly about the years of rivalry with West Indies cricket and the days when, you know, that was the pinnacle of cricket as a game. And that meeting, we had a very good meeting. But as you know, our future is tied up not so much with talking to Cricket Australia. That was good to get the experience and to solicit their support in whatever way they could talk to and about us. But the key to it is the ICC. They gave us an insight as to how they dealt with the ICC in bringing about the reorganization of their cricket. I'm a member of the Cricket Committee of CARICOM. Prime Minister Gonzalez is the chairman. We are trying to meet with the ICC for a sit-down for a conversation in London. That was declined because of unavailability of certain people, but they indicated to us that an opportunity will arise in November, and we intend to avail ourselves of that opportunity. And as a member of that committee, I had valuable insights as to what went on in Australia, where Australia now has cricket run by Cricket Australia. As a matter of fact, one of the things I discovered is that the board, Cricket Australia, how people get there and how they function and who they represent, and it would make interesting conversation here in the West Indies as to how people get into that position in Australia and why Australia cricket is where it is and why ours is where it is.
Dr. Ali, it's been about, I think, 7 weeks or so since a report was requested into the situation at the Ministry of Sport, the situation involving Minister Darryl Smith, I think. About 7 weeks. Can you give us, have you made any considerations on that?
I was going through my emails this morning, and we had given the group an extension of 2 weeks, so I anticipate that after the holidays I should receive that report.
Indeed, so interesting, very very interesting to be there. The Prime Minister of Trinidad and Tobago, Dr. Keith Rowley, of course, a couple months ago he did in fact have the Prime Minister of St. Vincent and the Grenadines talking to us, Dr. Ralph Gonzales, and these gentlemen are very concerned with West Indies cricket, and they want to talk to the ICC, and we have Dr. Rowley speaking to Cricket Australia. That's of great interest to me. You never know what's going to happen going forward. We're going to certainly follow that story for you. Does that surprise you that Dr. Rowley speaking to Cricket Australia, Dr. Ford?
Well, it's another courtesy call, and as concerned cricket fans and being on the committee, it's good for them to ventilate their feelings about cricket.
Will they get through that word?
I believe the common good approach is not one that will be very successful. I still think that, you know, with sports and government and other things, this, I don't think that will be a way that will create the result that that the committee is looking for. But of course, we all work towards the betterment of West Indian cricket, and certainly the solution to the to us being a dominant force in cricket, I think, is multifaceted, and the construct of Cricket West Indies may not be the missing link or the weakest link in the chain here that's resulting in us being where we are. We've talked a lot about the age group development and also the financing of the development of cricket and stadia. There's so many different areas that need to be strengthened, and you know, but it's good that that everyone has an opinion and wants to do something to help.
All right, let's go to Trinidad and Tobago and talk to Fazir Mohammed. Fazir, good evening to you.
Good evening to you, Andrew.
Good. Did you advise your Prime Minister to speak to Cricket Australia?
No, I didn't. I think he would have gone there as part of his visit to put the compass to China and then Australia with the clear intention of having a dialogue anyway, because he's obviously a huge fan of the game. And whether his intentions are sincere or not, and they will be judged in the end by the wider Caribbean and not just the people of Trinidad and Tobago. So it's always obvious that he was going to have a dialogue with the authorities, James Sutherland, the CEO of Cricket Australia, probably just a filling our process as to what can be done, if anything can be done, to engineer transformation in West Indies cricket.
Do you think it would have given them some strikes, having spoken to Cricket Australia? He's got to talk to the ICC as well, coming up pretty soon, hopefully.
I don't think he would have gotten much satisfaction in the end, because at the end of the day, what can Cricket Australia do? Cricket Australia, together with England and India, have been the triumvirate that have hijacked world cricket for their own benefit. Australia have just cancelled a tour of Bangladesh at home because they are not making any money from it. International cricket is in a serious crisis. International franchise cricket is doing very well. But under the governance of the ICC, they have allowed India, Australia and England more or less to run the game for their own benefit. And now you have a situation where, as we learned from Cricket West Indies last week, and for the CEO, John Graves, they only make money when two teams come to the Caribbean. So what sort of international structure is there when you've got 12 test-playing nations and you only make money from two of them?
Closer to home now. In fact, we're going to look at, we just asked Suraj Raghunath the line. He's no longer with the Trinidad and Tobago Cricket Board. Does that surprise you, Fazir?
No, it doesn't, because last year he had intimated that he was on thinking about resigning. But Suraj is someone with his experience in the game and someone who's been a very effective administrator for the Trinidad and Tobago Cricket Board. I think he's tried his best to straddle the rival factions, and they are serious rival factions in Trinidad and Tobago cricket. If we think it's pretty vitriolic at West Indies level, we should see what goes on at the Trinidad Tobago level. I think he's tried his best to straddle both entities, but he's a strong family man as well, and he's been able to cope with those challenges also. And I think at the end of the day, he probably felt that he can run as much as he can do for the sake of Trinidad and Tobago cricket, and I decided to step aside.
Now, let's talk about the West Indies squad has been announced. It's coming your way pretty soon. I expect thousands to come to the Queen's Park over to watch this game. Do you like the side? Fazer, Holder, Bishu, Brathwaite, Cummins, Chase, Durridge, Gabriel, Hamilton, Hetmeyer, Hope, Powell, Roughton, Smith?
First of all, the thousands will be coming to the Queen's Park over. It won't be to come and watch cricket because we haven't seen thousands watching Test cricket in the Queen's Park over for a long, long time. Maybe if they have some kind of after-three party,
yes,
will turn up, or maybe a political party, they'll turn up in huge numbers. But we've had handfuls of fans, and you know that only too well. And which is why I hear you snickering in the background doing your usual provocative way. That's
Mr. Mohammed, they'll stay home and watch you on TV because, you know, everybody likes their commentary.
If only we would like to believe that as well. But also, as far as the composition of the squad, as I said, I saw that Dinesh Ramlin would have got an opportunity as the keeper. No argument with Jamal Hamilton because he has been there, thereabouts. I also thought that Kimo Paul would have an opportunity ahead of Miguel Cummins, but again, they decided, and that was the explanation of the chairman of selectors, to stick with the squad as far as the talk of New Zealand. So there's really no argument there. And based on the 13 that have been selected, I think the players that are going to be left out are Devon Smith and Jamal Hamilton from the 13-man squad, because I can't see Shane Dowridge being left out in these circumstances. And I still think that there's more feeling towards the Karen Powell, which is probably why he's captain of the 18th in Sri Lanka starting tomorrow at the Brian Lara Stadium. I think they're more inclined to lean towards him to open the batting with Craig Bradley.
So you're saying to me that you picked Devon Smith as about 50 years old? Just kidding. And not
Come
playing,
on, Mr. Mason, 50 years
play,
old.
And not play him? I would think they should play him.
Yeah,
I haven't picked him.
It really depends on how the selectors are thinking. So they think that Devon Smith deserves to be rewarded with test selection for his outstanding season.
Right.
And if he does have a good season and another season, what happens when you reach the diminishing returns once again? Remember, he only averages 24.5 in test cricket, but he's merited consideration, but that's why he's in the squad. So it's really how the selectors are thinking. Are they thinking top gap? Are they thinking long too? And if they're thinking, well, look, this guy performed, you picked him, and you can't pick a 36 going on 37 and not play him, well, maybe he will. But at the moment, I am seeing it, Craig Bradford and Karen Powell look made about it.
Fazer, would you pick Devon Smith?
I don't think I would have, because, again, given all of the factors in consideration, I think if we keep talking about a team in transition, then Devon Smith characterizes that situation. Take nothing away from his performance. The intention is not to ridicule his effort.
Mm-hmm.
But if we're talking about West Indies emerging from this 22-year transition, how are you going to be able to do that if you keep coming back to select players every now and then when they perform? Because the incumbents just aren't living up to expectations. So we're going to be in this situation continuously until we decide on starting our way forward.
Mm-hmm. No. Interestingly enough, the squad, as you spoke about it, the game starts tomorrow at the Brian Lara Stadium. But what interests me here is that Ambrose is back, Blackwood is in the side, and I don't see Kimo Paul's name in any of the squads. Does that surprise you?
Yeah, I was surprised. I have to admit I'm surprised. I haven't heard any explanation as to whether or not anything points towards injury or anything of that nature. But again, from my own limited viewing of him, during that qualifying tournament in Zimbabwe, he certainly struck me as a young man keen to perform with bat and ball. Didn't seem fazed by all the barracking he was getting from the fans in Harare during that key match against Zimbabwe. So I'm disappointed, yes, because I think he strikes me as that sort of positive young character who you want to get into the team. And if he delivers at the first point of being fine, if not, at least it's an opportunity for him to get his toe in the water.
Well, of course, he's going to be in that charity match at Lords. You think that would have had any influence in relation to not put him in, at least certainly the test squad, because he should be back in time.
Well, obviously, if he is playing in that match, I overlooked that fixture on Thursday, then obviously he's not going to be in the match, the warm-up match at the Brian Lara Stadium, but I would still think the selectors must have him in mind at some point, if not for the upcoming pre-test matches, maybe the two to follow against Bangladesh, the pre-test matches in India. So there's a lot of test cricket to come in the latter half of the year. So it's worth consideration at some point along the way.
Final question, Fazer. Can we win the series? There are three test matches, one in your backyard in Trinidad and Tobago, then to go to the Highlands of West St. Lucia, then to come to the region's Mecca. Can they win it, Fazer?
We'll start as underdogs, but yes, we can win it because Sri Lanka have had a number of issues with some of their players. As you'll be aware, Dhananjaya De Silva has not started with the team because sadly his father was killed on Thursday night in Friday. He's a local councillor in Colombo. Vimal Kalinarasinghe, who is the experienced opening batsman, he hasn't travelled because he has had some injury issues. And even though Sri Lanka actually have a pretty good record over the last three series, it's been a while since they last played Test cricket, which is January, in the same way for the West Indies. So it's really up to the West Indies to hit the ground running, which doesn't happen very often. But if they can start in Trinidad and Tobago very positively, they could take the early advantage. But I think Sri Lanka will start as marginal favourites, but I still think the West Indies can put up more of a fight than we've seen of late.
All right. Fazer, thanks very much for coming through and talking to us on Mason and Guest. Enjoy the rest of your evening.
Always a pleasure, and enjoy the political aftermath of what happened.
Oh, yes. In 30 Love, Fazer, did that surprise you?
The demolition.
The 30 Love did surprise me. It reminds me of what I will say. Just as a quick aside, many people were saying after the PNA book will vanquish 33-3 in 1986, the first time they'd ever lost an election after 50 years in power. Many people were saying that was the end of the PNM. 5 years later, they were back in power.
Can you imagine that? Hope wears us all and tells us tomorrow be better. Thank you, Fazer, for coming through and talking to us.
Thank you.
All right. There you have it. Some interesting words. They're coming from Fazer Muhammad. Interesting that he says he wouldn't pick Devon Smith. So he's like, you, Dr. Ford.
Well, I was looking at the, you know, the younger group developing, but
sometimes you need that experience, Dr. Ford.
I wish I was 36 through. And 216 days.
And I just want to tell you, right, that it was said about all this, in going to IPL, no, Chinese Super Kings with doing Bravo 2, all this and that. Experience over youth, and it proves in that IPL that experience wins games. And I think Devon Smith, the Tuesday after the first test match starts, once Devon Smith is given a chance, I will come in and just tell everyone that I won't say I told you so, but indirectly, it will be a good day.
Compare IPL to test cricket.
No,
big leap.
It's an analogy just about the experience.
About the experience of it, yes. Well, we'll wait and see what he does. But I don't agree with Fazer because I can't imagine that they'll pick him and not play him. Certainly, I think they will certainly pick him as well. Okay. We're going to go back to Antigua and talk to Graham West. He's on the line. Of course, there's a camp which is going on, and it's coming pretty close to the end, I would think. We heard from Hayley Matthews earlier. She's been there for about a month now. I was happy to come home tomorrow. Hello, Graham. How are you?
Good evening, Andrew.
Good. All right. You're getting close to the end of this camp? Or we got another year?
Well, no, we're finishing. We finished up at the end of last week in terms of the first phase of the Fast Bowlers program. They're going back home for a week, and then they'll be back in Antigua this time next week.
And those Fast Bowlers, same Fast Bowlers will be going for a week and coming back?
The majority of them, yeah. Obviously, we've got Keon Joseph and Raymond Reefer playing in the President's Game this week.
Right.
And Kimo Paul is playing in the T20 game in the UK. But the other guys will be back. And we will build on what's been a very good first phase. So it's all gone very well. As you mentioned there, we've had the women here as well. They're wrapping up tomorrow. So it's been a busy few weeks for us here.
So Kimo Paul goes to play, of course, by now you've been in England, I would think. And but what happens? He comes back to Ghana for a couple of days and then we'll rejoin in the week then, Kimo Paul?
With the England tour, England A tour coming up, we suspect that some of the guys will be travelling there. Those that aren't selected for that will continue with us.
Mm-hmm.
There's also the red, so the white ball squad go to England initially with the A team, and then the red ball squad go later on in the month. So again, we suspect some of the guys will be joining up. So it's all about making sure that they're well prepared, so that when they get to the UK, they can get straight into it. We'll have Romsford beaten. We'll have Alzari Joseph. They'll continue to do their work here. They're both progressing nicely. So we're very pleased with things at the moment.
Mm. So that do you have that squad, the squad that is going to England, the A-team squad?
No, not as yet, but I'm sure that will be coming out very soon. There's also a development team going to Canada, playing the T20 tournament there. So across all of these activities, we're hoping that most of the guys that have been with us will have some exposure to very much put the work that they've put in here in Antigua into practice. And it will be good to see what improvements, what progressions they've made in the coming months. Obviously, quite a number of them, even the younger guys, they're all involved with CPL this year. So again, come August, there'll be another opportunity for them to showcase the work that they've done here. So actually, a very busy period for the guys over the next 2 or 3 months before they go back to their franchises for franchise cricket.
Renford Beaton has started this problem a lot.
We're pleased with the progress he's made so far. Yeah, his agenda or his target is to finish with us at the end of June and be in a position where he can be retested. Timelines, if that is successful, then clearly he could get back in time for CPL. That's what his CPL franchise are sort of working towards. So it's not an easy one because you can never put timelines on these things, but the work that Roddy Eswick's been doing with him here seems to be making good progress.
Azhari Joseph, fully fit?
Very close. He's now bowling two spells in training with no reaction. So our challenge is to find Azhari some cricket to play before, obviously, he becomes available to the selectors. So difficult to put timelines on things, but we're just sort of taking it 1 week at a time. But again, it was a very serious injury, and so therefore we've been quite conservative, but very pleased with the progress he's making.
Hi, Graham. This is Pearson. How are you doing?
Good evening.
Hi. Yeah. It shouldn't be that difficult to find Azhari some cricket. We're in the beginning, and we'll soon be in the midst of the cricket season here in Barbados. And I would report to you that we've seen the entrance of some of the other players from the Caribbean into some of our club teams here.
Send into Wonders.
So what is happening is that is good for cricket because we are getting some guys playing for some of the teams here. And what is interesting is they're not playing for what people would normally call the I don't want to use the term elite teams because we have an elite division, but the favorite teams, the teams that people traditionally look to, and I would think that cricketers would not from the other Caribbean islands would normally want to play for. They're filtering through into all of these teams because they are competing in the same competition. So I don't think it would be that difficult. And I think with someone like, I don't want to send him there because the UWA takes the cream in the crop. But certainly someone like Floyd Rifle can get him, I'm sure, involved in cricket here. Not necessarily at UWA. I hope not. Because it then gives them another advantage.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Wonders Cricket Club is the best, I think, best place.
So is that possible, Graham?
So shall I wait for bids to come in? So you come up to the highest offer?
Are you his agent?
Ah, good come out.
If only this is the ATM.
Well, I'm well aware that there's cricket in Barbados at this time of year, which there isn't in most of the other islands. And therefore, you know, we'll look at it. The difficulty for any player is you can do all the conditioning and everything else, but actually spending time on your feet in the field for 4 or 5 hours is a very difficult one to replicate. And ultimately, that's now what we need to do to satisfy ourselves that he is ready to be considered by the selectors. So if someone would like to table an offer, I could certainly put it to Alzar if it fits with everything we're trying to do.
Wonderful. Well, Graham, we won't toy up any longer, really. You've been wonderful. Thanks for coming through and talking to us, of course, on Mason and Guest. And we wish you well.
Thank you very much, Andrew. All right. Good night.
There you go. Graham Best, who once lived in Barbados. He tells me he misses Barbados a lot. He's now in the land of the, it used to be the birds and the Spencers, as opposed to the land of the Browns. He is very much there with doing some pretty good work with the cricketers of the Caribbean. It's 4341790. Just about 10 minutes left in the show. We're going to try to make another connection. We're going to try and see if we can pick up fellow Alfonso Wallace, who has consented to come and talk to us as well. But gentlemen, when you look at this team, deep down inside, Dr. Forgan's top, do you think Westies will win this?
Yeah, I mean, we have done well against Sri Lanka in the West Indies, and it's the only place we've beaten them. So based on that, and the fact that they've lost many of their experienced players and have lost one or two due to unfortunate circumstances, I believe we can win.
Pearson?
I'm not going to call it because you have two teams in transition and you're playing cricket. I would say that we can compete well against Sri Lanka. If you were playing Australia, I would obviously say Australia would beat us. If you were playing New Zealand, I would think New Zealand would beat us. And England and so on. But you have two teams that are going through this transition phase. So I wouldn't want to pick a winner at this stage because cricket is played on the field and on the day. What I would say is that the team that wins the most sessions and plays the most consistent cricket will come out on top. Because one of the things that we have suffered for from here in the West Indies is that we play cricket, but we don't play session by session. We do well in a session for the first hour, the last hour of a session, and then when we come back, we tend to relax or we tend to go into a phase or some lethargic phase and teams tend to come back. But once you can win those sessions and compete as a team in the various units, in the batting unit, you build partnerships, in the bowling unit, you need bowlers to complement each other. I believe that we can give a reasonable account of ourselves against a team like Sri Lanka, as they are currently rebuilding.
I think the team is solid, and I'm predicting this, that the West Indies will win, and we're going to have another narrow, I think it was in Jamaica with Shannon Gabriel, in that last over. I think it's going to be another narrow summer, but we will come out on top this time. And I think this team is solid. The selectors did a very good job. I'm in favor of this Jamar Hamilton selection. Do good for his experience. And I'm expecting some good performance tomorrow from Rakeem Cornwall. I've been watching him a lot. He's really, I'm pleased. And I can just see the future is bright for Rakeem and obviously Ray Marifa in there as well.
All right. You know, it's important to get some stats. And we've been trying to reach Phil. We can't reach him. Of course, we'll try again next year. Let's talk to the notice statistician, Harold Eastman, who's on the line now. Harold, good evening to you. How are you?
Good evening.
Right. Okay. There's been a great deal of talk about Devon Smith coming back into the West Indies side. You've been monitoring the stats very, very closely. Do you think, based on what you have in front of you, that you should play, based on the stats?
Yes, Andrew, I certainly am one of the people who felt that Devon Smith should play again, because when Devon Smith, 36-year-old Devon Smith played his last test versus England in Grenada in 2015, since then, in regional cricket, yes, and that is 4 seasons, he has played 37 matches.
Right.
Batted 68 times, 10 not out, 3,247 runs, 12 centuries, 14 half centuries at an average of 55.98. Now tell me.
Harold, how say that again? Say that slowly for me.
Flergy Sabramatis.
Right.
And this is essentially, he lost his place in the West Indies team in 2015 at home in Grenada against, I think it was against Sri Lanka. No, against England.
Right.
He's played 37 regional games. This is three regional four-day games.
Right.
He's batted 68 times. Mm-hmm. 3,247 runs.
Mm-hmm.
12 centuries, 14 half centuries at an average of 55.98.
And Harold, give me stats this year.
This year, he played 10 matches,
mm-hmm.
batted 18 times, and right. made 1,095 runs. Mm-hmm. With 6 centuries and 1 half century.
Oh, dear. Well, and Dr. Ford wouldn't pick him. Dr. Ford.
Come on, doctor. Come on, man. You have to make these important decisions in your
I have to use history and other things.
History.
That would come to bear on my decision making. If a certain procedure hasn't worked
let's talk
several
about
times,
history,
I may not go back to the
decision. What's his test stats looking like, Harold?
He's played 38 tests. He's batted 67 times, 1,593 runs.
Mm-hmm.
At an average of 24.50 with 1 century and 6 half centuries. And Dr. Ford, I'm certainly one of the people, while I was in agreement with Dr. Ford,
mm-hmm.
I'm a little worried as the team may be brought back against Sri Lanka.
Not the best.
The type of bowling that he would face. I'm almost certain that the Sri Lankans will start opening the bowling for all spin.
He's already
Yeah, he's already played 3 tests against Sri Lanka,
right.
140 runs,
mm-hmm.
with 1 half century.
1 half century. What about Jamal Hamilton, if we turn our attention, if we've got another, 3-4 minutes left of the show. What about Jamal Hamilton?
His overall record in regional, his overall first-class record,
mm-hmm.
he's played 17 matches, he scored 3,315 runs
right.
at an average of 27.17.
Right.
With a high score of 130 now, the six centuries.
6 centuries.
And I just looking at that average of 27.17 now. I don't think that is good at all.
Mm-hmm.
And then recently in the regional tournament between 2017 and 2018,
mm-hmm.
playing in 8 matches, he scored only 270 runs. And in the two unofficial tests against the England Lions,
mm-hmm.
in 2 tests he scored 199 runs. So I don't see this outstanding record that he's been brought back for.
So you would not have picked him in Arrow? You would not have picked him based on the stats?
No. I know. I certainly think I do not know why the selectors seem to think that Shamar Brooks must score runs in a 18 series in order to play for the West Indies, because if you compare his record, the record he has with Jamal Hamilton,
right.
Jamal Hamilton has played 17 matches, he's played 60.
Jamal Hamilton only has
about 400 runs more than him in the first class cricket,
mm.
because Shamar Brooks has scored 2,983 runs.
Mm-hmm.
For 60 matches, and his average is 33.14
mm-hmm.
with 4 half centuries. And in regional cricket this year,
in
8 matches, 4 centuries.
Right.
But in regional cricket this year,
right?
Hamilton played, scored 270 runs in 8 games.
Right.
He scored 632 from 8 games also.
Oh, dear. So you're saying, Harold, that place should have gone to Shamar Brooks? Is that what you're saying?
I think it's about time. I think he's getting older. He's now 29 years old. And I think it's time that he's given a chance. For some reason, he seems to have to make, and if you realize that he's been around for a while, everybody has passed him. Boston Chip has passed him.
Right.
No Hamilton, you know, they're just passing him by.
It seems like the A-team scores are the big determinant of who plays.
But I'm
talking about the reality now.
But having said that, not to belabor the point about Brooks, if you look at the Brooks' record in the team for the last 3 years, it's not worse than any of them.
Right.
So...
How we got just a couple of seconds left? Any other stats you want to share with us before you go?
Yeah, just the last one here was Sri Lanka test versus West Indies.
Right.
They've played one another 17 times. Sri Lanka has they've played one another 17 times.
Mm-hmm.
Sri Lanka has won 8, the West Indies 3,
and
with six draws. And just a few notes: the Sri Lanka has never won a series in the Caribbean. 1997, the West Indies won the series 1-0, a two-test series.
Mm-hmm.
Another two-test series in 2003, the West Indies again won 1-1. And then in 2008, it was 1-1, Sri Lanka have only won one test in the Caribbean,
mm-hmm.
and that's at Providence in Guyana in 2008. And one last thing, they've never played a test at the Mecca.
Well, it's starting to get an opportunity to play one at the Mecca.
I'll be there, Dr. Ford. I'll be there.
Gentlemen, it's been a pleasure having you on the show. Varied as usual. Thanks to you all for coming through and talking to us. We heard from